You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Redemption Online. It's so good to be with you this morning. I want to say a special welcome to all of our first-time guests. If you're joining us for the first time today, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm so glad you're with us. I'm so glad all of you are here because today we're kicking off a brand new series. So let's get into it. A few weeks ago, my family and I actually got away for a little family vacation. It was long overdue. We really needed it. And we took a nice trip up to the great state of Maine. And then we spent a few days in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, did the whole beach thing. So we didn't go far, but we had a little bit of a road trip. So of course we have three boys. We packed up our Chevy Traverse and we had luggage and snacks and iPads and everything to like make sure that we were gonna have a great road trip. We got on the road, it was a beautiful day. We got a couple hours down the road and then the question came from my middle son, Michael, that inevitably I knew would come that all parents have heard 10,000 times. If you've ever been on a road trip before, you already know what it is. Here's the question. Are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? Dad, how much longer is it gonna be? How many more minutes do we have, right? Like, you know the drill, parents. And of course, all of us, we've done it before. We've been kids, we did it to our parents. And if you're a parent, your kids do it to you. And so I answer my kids this way, I answer Michael this way. Like, Michael, what you gotta do is you gotta find ways to enjoy the trip, enjoy the journey. If you worry about how long it's gonna take, the more you ask how long it's gonna take, the longer the trip is gonna go. It's gonna go by really slow. So you gotta find ways to enjoy the journey. Look outside the window, look at God's beautiful creation. See how many different states you can find on the different license plates. You know, watch a movie on your iPad. Find a way to embrace the journey. But I think we can all relate to this question because this is exactly how we all feel. We're ready to be at our destination, but there's still a long ways to go on the journey. And I think many of us feel that way spiritually. I think many of us feel that way in our relationship with God. I mean, we're all on a spiritual journey. Have you ever been in a season in your walk with God where you felt like, are we there yet? Like, God, how much longer is this gonna take? Like, when am I gonna finally arrive? Like, God, I thought by now my marriage would finally be better. I thought we'd get a breakthrough. God, I thought by now I would be out of debt and my finances would be better. Like, God, I thought that that loved one who's been sick that I've been praying for, I thought by now, God, you would have answered that prayer and healed them. God, I thought by now this whole COVID-19 thing would be over with and life would be back to normal. Can I get an amen, somebody? God, I thought by now you would send that perfect Christian spouse into my life. I've been updating my Christian Mingle profile like every day and they're still not here. Hello, single people. Like, I think we've all been there before. There's this sense of, are we there yet? Like, when are we going to arrive? And I think God is saying to us in those moments, much like I said to my son, Michael, you gotta learn to embrace the journey. Come on, church, you gotta find joy in the journey. You're so worried about when you're gonna arrive, but I'm more worried about what I'm doing in you. I'm more worried about who you're becoming in the process. And so I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to learn to embrace what I'm doing in your life. I want you to learn to find purpose and joy in the journey. And so today we're kicking off a brand new series called Are We There Yet? And we're gonna spend some time over the next few weeks for the rest of the summer looking at the Exodus story. The story of how God led his people, the Israelites, out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. Think Prince of Egypt. Think like Ten Commandments, you know, Charlton Heston, like famous movie. That story, yeah. So we're gonna look at this, the Exodus story over the next few weeks, and we're gonna learn some principles for trusting God on our spiritual journeys. Now, in just a moment, we're gonna be in Exodus chapter 13. But first, I wanna kind of remind you and kind of give you an overview of the backstory and all that has led up to this point when the Exodus really begins. So the Exodus story actually starts in the book before, in Genesis. At the end of Genesis, we read about how God had brought Joseph to Egypt. This is Joseph. This is Joseph who had the coat of many colors. This is Joseph who was the great-grandson of Father Abraham. There was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, and his favored son, Joseph. And God's hand was upon Joseph. His brothers had sold him into slavery in Egypt, but God blessed him. God made him the second in command of all of Egypt. And God put him there at just the right time because there was a great famine. And Joseph was able to bring his brothers to live with him in Egypt. Well, we fast forward over to Exodus, and a few generations later, it says that there was a new Pharaoh, there was a new king who came about who didn't know Joseph, didn't know all that Joseph had done to serve Pharaoh and be a blessing to Egypt, and he felt threatened by the Israelites. God was blessing them, they were prospering, they were becoming numerous, they were growing in population, and he said to his leaders around him, like, these Hebrews, these Israelites are becoming so numerous, they're going to become a threat to us, so we have to put them in their place. And so he forced them into slavery. He made them do hard labor. They had to do like brickwork and build things. And then Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew midwives to actually kill any baby boys. I know it's terrible. Any baby boy Israelites, they were to be killed. The baby girls were to be spared. And so the Israelites were in a really bad place. And the scripture says in Exodus that God heard the cries of his people. Like, he heard his people crying out to them. And he raised up a deliverer for them, a man named Moses. So if you remember Moses' story, Moses was born to Israelite family. His mom was Jewish, and of course she was worried about him as a baby boy being found out and being put to death. So she actually put him in a basket and put him out on the Nile River. And of all people, Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and raised him as her own child. He became a prince of Egypt. So of course he had this dual life. He was a prince of Egypt, but yet he was also a Hebrew. He was an Israelite. One day he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and he actually ended up killing that Egyptian. It got back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh tried to kill him. Moses ran away, and he ends up living out in the middle of nowhere, out in the wilderness in a place called Midian. When God appears to him in a burning bush, famous story, and he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Of course, Moses does that. Pharaoh won't let the people go. God ends up sending the 10 plagues. The Nile gets turned into blood, and the flies and the frogs and the locusts and all that crazy stuff, culminating with the Passover when Pharaoh says, I've had enough, and he lets the children of Israel go. And that's where we pick up in Exodus chapter 13. After 430 years of being in Egypt, the Israelites are finally free. Here they are. They're about to leave. Something interesting happens. Look at this. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 18. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Look at verse 18. So God led the people around by the desert and toward the Red Sea. So God doesn't let them go straight into the promised land. After everything they've been through, after the plagues, after Pharaoh finally letting them go, you would think they would just march straight into the promised land and live happily ever after. But God says, pump the brakes. He has something else in mind, and he doesn't take them on the easiest, shortest route. In fact, we have a map there for you to give you a little perspective, and you can see the route there, how God leads the Israelites into the Sinai Peninsula there instead of cutting straight across over right into the land of Canaan, which is the promised land present. Present-day Israel, they end up wandering down into the Sinai Peninsula. Now, let me give you a few observations here. Here's the first one. Sometimes God uses detours to get us to our destination. Come on, church, let me say that to you again this morning. Sometimes God uses detours to get us to our destination. Sometimes the will of God, it feels more like a detour to us than it does the will of God. Sometimes we have this sense like, God, why are you taking me over here? God, why did you close this door? God, I don't understand why I ended up at this place in life right now when it seems like to me the clearest thing would be for you to just do this and answer my prayers and take me straight there. Come on, how many of you would like it to just work that way? Sometimes the will of God, it feels like a detour in our lives. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever gotten in a fight before with your GPS when it tried to reroute you? You ever been there before where your GPS tried to detour you? It tried to reroute you. Maybe your iPhone or your GPS, it knew that there was a lane closure up ahead or there was an accident that you didn't know about. And so it tried to reroute you, make a right here. And you're like, I don't want to make a right here. It keeps trying to make you take a right turn and you're fighting with the GPS, but it's trying to detour you and reroute you to get you back on track so you can make it to your destination. And I think the will of God works the same way. What seems to us like a detour is often God's guidance trying to get us back on track. Church, let me just tell you, God has a way of divinely rerouting our lives so he can get us to where he wants us to be. Come on, God has a way of divinely rerouting our lives to get us to where he wants us to be. Think about the story of Jonah. Jonah ran away from God, got swallowed by a great fish. God's like, I'm gonna get you back on track. The Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus going to arrest Christians, thinking he was doing God's will, when God knocked him off his horse and said, I'm gonna reroute you because I have a different purpose and plan for your life. I think about my own life. Before we came down to Westchester to plant this church, I spent 6 years in Buffalo, New York. Let me just tell you, for a guy from New Orleans who's from the warmer climates and regions of the world, it felt like a little bit of a reroute when God took me to Buffalo, New York for 6 years. I think God knew exactly what he was doing. God knew that ultimately he was gonna bring us here to start this church, but he needed me in Buffalo, New York for a few years. He needed me over there for 6 years, but he finally got my life exactly where he wanted me to be. Church, sometimes God will reroute your life. Sometimes God will take you on a detour, but he's trying to get you right to where he wants you to be. So that job that didn't work out, that relationship that didn't work out, that business opportunity that didn't work out, God didn't forget you. Come on, he was just rerouting your life. God says, hold on, it may feel like a reroute, it may feel like a detour, but I'm going to get you ultimately where you need to be. Here's another observation. Sometimes there's a desert between God's promise and the fulfillment of it. Come on, sometimes we have this sense that we have a promise from God, a promise that we get in prayer, a promise that we get from a sermon or a worship song or a scripture that becomes like a special verse to us, a word from God. But sometimes before we get to the fulfillment of that promise, we have to go through a desert. Look at verse 18. It says, God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. By the desert road. I don't know about you, but the desert road doesn't come across as very appealing to me. I like the scenic route. I like the ocean route. I like the convenient, smooth, paved, really easy road. I don't like the desert road so much. I've been on desert roads before. I've driven from Arizona to LA. I've driven through the Mojave Desert. It was cool to see the desert, but I wouldn't want to break down there. I wouldn't want to stop there really long. It feels like you might get eaten by a wild animal or die of heat stroke. I've been to the desert in the Holy Land. Let me just tell you, it's hot. It's desolate. Like it is not a nice place. And so God leads them on the desert road. Now, not only does a desert represent a difficult season of life, but a desert also represents a season of delay. Hello, if you've been waiting 400 and something years to get into the promised land, if God takes you on a little bit of a detour through the Sinai Peninsula, it feels like one more delay. Like, when are we going to get there? Are we there yet? So let me ask you this, church. Let me ask you this question. What's your desert road? Come on, what does a desert road represent in your life? You wanna know what your desert is? You wanna figure out what your desert road is? It's your answer to this question right here. It's the rest of this phrase. God, I thought by now, fill in the blank. God, I thought by now I would be in a different place in life. God, I thought by now, you know, I would be in a better place in my career. God, I thought by now I would be the parent, the gracious, loving parent that I've always wanted to be, and yet I'm still impatient with these kids. God, I thought by now I would have gotten into that graduate program. I would have gotten into that college that I've been applying to. God, I thought I would be here by now. That's your desert. That's your season of delay. Are we there yet? Like, God, when am I going to arrive? And I've discovered this, church, that God's timing is often not my timing, but God's timing is the best timing. Come on, how many of you have walked with the Lord long enough to discover that God's timing is often not our timing, but God's timing is the best timing? Let me just tell you, there have been times in my life when there were opportunities that I thought I was ready for. Like, yes, Lord, I'm ready for that. Yes, Lord, I'm ready to be a lead pastor. And God's answer was, not yet, not so fast. Come on, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says not yet. It's not that I'm never gonna open that door for you, it's just that right now is not the right time. And so for some of you, you may be asking God for something, and it's not that the answer is no, it's that the answer is not yet. It's just a season of delay. God, I'm ready for another relationship. And God's like, you're ready for another relationship? You haven't even figured out why the last relationship didn't work out. Come on, you haven't even dealt with your trust issues and you want another relationship? Come on, God, I'm ready for a promotion. God, I'm ready for that new job. And God's like, you haven't even learned yet what I want you to learn in this position. Come on, hold steady for just a moment. I want you to stay put and trust me. It might be a season of delay, but I'm working in your life. I see things that you don't see. I see things down the road that you don't see. And so here's the good news, church, when you're in a season of delay. It's never wasted. Come on, God never wastes a desert season. He's working in your life. He's working on your behalf. He sees what we don't see. And so here's the question. How do we get through spiritual deserts? How do we get through times of difficulty and delay and times where we're like waiting for God to answer our prayer? Seasons like most of us are in right now, and it's kind of like, hey, God, how long is this going to take? I want to give you some encouragement. I want you to take some notes today. I'm going to give you some practical ideas from this chapter. You ready? Here's the first one. How do we get through spiritual deserts? Number one, recognize that what God is doing in you is more important than what he's doing for you. Let me say that again. Come on, you got to put this in your notes today. What God is doing in you is ultimately more important than what he's doing for you. Oh, what he's doing for you is important, and we always fixate there. We're believing for God to answer this prayer. We're believing for this financial provision. We're believing for God to do this or do that in our lives. And we get so fixated that sometimes we miss out on what God is wanting to do in us while we're waiting for that thing to happen. Why did God detour the Israelites in the first place? Let's go back and look at it. Look at this. Look at verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Look at this. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Come on, God knew something they didn't know. God knew they weren't ready just yet. God knew that they weren't ready to go straight to the promised land. There were some things that he needed to do in them first. They weren't ready to fight the battles that they were gonna need to fight to take the promised land. Come on, sometimes God has given you a chance to get a little bit stronger. He's given you a chance to build a little bit of endurance. Like he wants you to learn how to win this fight before you can graduate on to the next one. And that's what God was doing in the Israelites. He needed to do some work in them first. See, God had taken his people out of Egypt, but he needed to take Egypt out of them. Come on, there were some things in them that God wanted to work out of them, and he had to do some things to prepare his people to be ready for the promised land. And so in theology, we have a really fancy word for this. We call it the process of sanctification. It's the process. It's the outworking of your salvation. You know, there's that beautiful moment when I got saved, I prayed a prayer, I placed my faith in Jesus. Well, this is the process of you being saved. This is God shaping and molding and producing fruit in your life and making you more like Jesus. It's God doing the work in you. And so church, don't miss out on what God is wanting to do in you in a desert season. We get so focused on the outcome. And when are we finally gonna arrive? And when are we finally gonna get there? And when are we gonna finally see this promise come to pass or this thing that I've been praying for? But don't miss how God is working in your life while you're waiting. Come on, some of you went through a season when you were broke and you were praying for a new job and you were praying for a financial breakthrough. But in that season, you learned to trust God like never before. You learned that he was your provider. He was working in you. Some of you, you've struggled with a habit, maybe an addiction, maybe some self-destructive thing, and there was a sense of, God, when is this finally gonna go away? Is this always gonna be a problem for me? And God eventually gave you freedom. But here's the thing, during that time, you learned to trust that every time you fell, God picked you up, and his mercies were made new every morning. He was working in you. Come on, some of you, God wanted to build some endurance in you. He wanted to build some strength in you. He wanted to grow your faith. So don't miss out on how God is working in you. It's really more important than ultimately what he's doing for you. Here's the second thing. Number two, how do we get through these seasons, these desert road seasons? Number two, hold on to the promises of God. You got to hold on to the promises of God. Look at this, Exodus 13, verse 19. It says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. So this is actually a scripture from Genesis chapter 50, verse 25. This is Joseph that we talked about earlier, the great patriarch Joseph. Joseph actually made the people swear to him before he died. He says, listen to me, when God delivers you from Egypt and brings you, when God brings you to the promised land, take my bones with you. I want to be buried in the promised land. I want to go with you. I know I'm going to die here in Egypt, but take my remains with you. See, these bones, they were more than just the relic of some great patriarch. These bones actually represented the promise of God. Like Joseph's bones, they were a reminder to the people. And generations later, Moses hadn't forgot. These bones represented something. They were a reminder that they had a promise from God. Joseph had prophesied to them. He said, God is going to come to your aid. When you need him, God is going to come to your aid. And Joseph's bones were a reminder that they served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who had made a promise to them, the God who had made a covenant with them, who said, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bring you into a land and give you your own land, a promised land where I'm going to bless you. His bones represented something special. So what do you do in a season of difficulty, in a season of delay? Come on, church, you take the bones with you. You take the bones with you. You hold on to the promises of God. And maybe for you, it's a scripture that God gave you that you hold on to you and you begin to declare it. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on. Maybe it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Maybe it's, I am the Lord who healeth thee. Whatever it is, you grab a hold of that promise and you pray into it and you hold on to it, even if there's a season of delay. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, church. You and I, we live in a culture of immediate gratification. That's our problem as modern day people. We live in a culture of immediate gratification. Your way, right away. We want instant results. We want things to happen now. We want things to come to pass for us in no time at all that took years and decades for our grandparents and parents to have. We want overnight financial success. We want overnight success in relationships. We want influence and friends. And we want all of these things to happen right now, and we don't want to wait. But you know what we need to learn? Here's what we need to learn. We need to learn to live in the tension of the promise made but not yet fulfilled. Come on, let me say that to you again. We need to learn what the people of God have known and experienced and lived all throughout Scripture for thousands of years, and that is to live in the tension of the promise made but not yet fulfilled. This is what we see all through Scripture. God made promises to his people that they held on to, but they didn't have the full realization of it just yet. There's a whole chapter in Hebrews that talks all about the great heroes of faith, how they didn't see everything come to pass in their lifetime, but they held on to faith. Joseph's descendants waited over 400 years to bury his bones in the promised land. Come on, church, that's a long time to wait for a promise to be fulfilled. I think about the Old Testament prophets who saw a coming day when the Messiah would come, and they saw the coming kingdom of God, and yet they lived during the time of captivity when the Israelites were conquered and scattered into captivity. I think about the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he expounded the glorious riches of salvation, but many of his epistles, his letters, were written from prison. Talk about having a promise but not living the full realization of it. Here's Paul telling us about the freedom we have in Christ, and he's writing from prison. And here we are as modern day New Testament believers who have the hope of eternity, the hope of heaven in our hearts. And yet we have a present deposit of the promise, but we don't have the fulfillment of it just yet. We have to long for it. We've got to learn to live in that tension, church. We've got to let go of this instant gratification thing. And God, we're going to trust you. We're going to hold on to the promises of God. And so we have to have this sense, God, I'm not where I want to be just yet, but I'm not going back to where I used to be. Come on, I'm pressing on to what you've promised me. God, I'm holding on to your promises. I may not be there just yet, but God, you're not finished. You made a promise to me. I'm holding on to the truth of your word that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are who you said you are. And your word will come to pass. And Jesus, you're faithful. And I'm holding on to who you are and to what you've said. Hold on to the promises of God, church. And here's the third thing I want to leave you with. How do we get through these spiritual deserts, these seasons of delay, these seasons where things are difficult, seasons where we're living in a big, fat global pandemic that's delaying our lives? Here's the third thing. Know that God goes before you. Come on, church, you got to know that he's the God that goes before you. Not only is he working in you, but he's the God that goes before you. Look at the rest of chapter 13, Exodus 13, 21 through 22. Here's what it says. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Verse 22, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Come on, God went before the people. He went before them in a cloud by day and in a fire by night. I mean, picture this. The Israelites, they could be confident that God was guiding them. They didn't know where they were going. They were in the wilderness. They didn't know exactly where God was going to lead them. But they could travel by day or by night because they could be confident that God was guiding them, that he was the God who was with them and he was the God who was going before them. You know, every now and then, we'll be taking out the garbage at night and I'll send one of my sons to take out the garbage and it's dark outside and they'll say, Dad, can you come with me? You know, can you go out first? And Dad, can you lead the way? And they feel better if I go out first because, you know, if there's a raccoon in the garbage, he's gonna attack me first. You know, if there's some scary person out there, they're afraid they're gonna be kidnapped. You know, if Dad goes first, it's gonna be okay. I get it. Because when it's dark, it's a little bit scary. It feels good to have Dad go before you. Come on, that's the same confidence we can have as we learn to trust Father God. You're the God who goes before me. God, I may not understand everything that's happening. God, I don't understand your timing. God, I don't understand why this prayer request hasn't been answered yet. I don't know why I haven't seen this breakthrough yet. I don't know why some things are stalled and delayed in my life. But God, I trust that you're the God who's gone before me. You know the path ahead of me. Come on, it's hard to surprise an all-knowing and all-powerful God. And there's a faith that rises up on the inside of you when you know that he's with you and he's the God who's gone before you. And so how do I know that I'm on the right path when it feels like I'm in a desert? That's a really good question, right? If the Israelites were out in the desert wandering and they were right smack in the middle of God's will, it's a little bit harder for us to know sometimes. Sometimes we look around and it seems like we're in the worst possible place. How did I get in these circumstances? How did I get in this situation? Like, God, how do I know I'm on the right path even though I'm following you and I'm not even sure because things are difficult around me? How do we know we're in the right place? Here's how. We follow the presence of God just like the Israelites did. They didn't know exactly where God was leading them. They didn't know the way. They were in the wilderness, but they could travel by day or by night because they followed the presence of God. And that's what we do. God, I'm just gonna hold on to your presence. I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna get in your word. I'm gonna stay in fellowship. God, I'm gonna ask you to order my steps. I'm gonna ask you to guide me and trust that you're with me. Come on, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Come on, I think about the psalmist in Psalmist 119. God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I think about the 23rd Psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Come on, church. We can face just about anything if we know that God is with us and he's the God who's going before us. And so here's what I know. I know that for most of us, and I know for many of you, this feels like a desert season. I know for many of you, it feels like a difficult season. It feels like a season of delay. Let's be honest, this whole pandemic life has gotten a little bit monotonous, right? Kind of feels like wandering around in the desert. Like, what is life going to be like? When are things ever going to get back to normal? Are we there yet? When are we going to arrive? But here's my prayer for you. My prayer for you and my prayer for us as a church is that we would be able to say, Lord, help us to embrace the journey. God, to recognize what you're doing in us and who you're making us into. Come on, to embrace the journey, to trust God, to find his purpose in church, to even find joy in the journey. Let me tell you, you know what the Exodus story reminds me of? Here's what it reminds me of, that the journey is just as much God's plan as the destination. Oh, come on, let me say that to you again today, church. The journey is just as much part of God's plan and will for you as the destination. We get so focused on the day when we're gonna arrive, but God is working in you. He's working out his purposes in you. He's shaping you, he's molding you. He's the God who goes before you and he hasn't forgotten you. He sees you and he's working out his plan for your life along the journey. I wanna pray for you this morning. Come on, I just really believe for some of you, you need to grab a hold of that word today. You need to pray with me. I really believe for some of you, you need to trust God in this season of life, to trust that he sees you, to trust that he hasn't forgotten you. And I believe right now is a moment of faith. And I'm praying that you have a greater sense of his will, of his purpose, of his presence in your life. And you can just submit to the process. That this will be a moment for you to find peace with God and say, God, I just submit to the process. I put my journey in your hands. Would you pray that with me right now? Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. God, we thank you that you are the God who's working in our lives. God, we thank you that you're the God who's working in us. God, when we're in seasons of delay, God, when we're in seasons where we feel like we're just off wandering in the desert and we wonder where you are, we wonder what your timing is and what you're doing, God, I thank you that you're with us. And God, I thank you that you're working in us, that God, you see us. Father, you see what lies ahead of us. Father, you're preparing us. You're molding us, you're shaping us, you're making us stronger because you're the God who goes before us. Now, Father, I pray that you would make us faithful, that God, we would trust you more, that God, we would learn to trust your presence like never before, that we would hold on to you, that we would hold on to your promises, that God, we would open our hearts to the work that you wanna do in us. Come on, do it in us, Lord. Somebody pray that with me. Do it in me, Lord. Do the work you wanna do in me and help me to hold on to you, to your presence every step of the way. God, we're not gonna run ahead of you, but every step of the way, we're gonna walk with you. I thank you for it. I bless each and every person who prayed that prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.